I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. William C. Velasquez Jr. died on June 15, 1988, a victim of kidney cancer. In his short life of 44 years, this Westside San Antonio native became a voting rights icon. Taking his cue from the African-American civil rights movement, Velasquez founded the Southwest Voter Registration Project in 1974. The group organized 1,000 voter registration drives across the Southwest and helped win 85 voting rights lawsuits. An example of how successful those drives were, in 1974, 2.4 million Latinos were registered to vote. By 1998, that number grew to 7 million. The Pew Research Center shows the number of Latinos registered to vote in 2016 was over 27 million. 30 years after Velasquez's death, he's being resurrected by God, the Big One, to reflect on his life. That's the premise of the young adult book, Dear San Antonio, I'm Gone But Not Lost, letters to the world from your voting rights hero, Willie Velasquez, on the occasion of his rebirth. Barbara Renaud Gonzalez is the author of this collection of posthumous letters written in the spirit of Willie Velasquez. She explains that his obsession with voting rights began with floods that devastated his neighborhood after heavy rains.
San Antonio has had a series of floods. They're not as overwhelming as they were back when Willie was growing up. And basically, they would destroy the neighborhood, and the creeks would flood over because there wasn't adequate drainage. The house would get all muddy, and he had to scrape everybody's shoes. That was his job, and he hated it. And he hated the cardboard that had to come into the house so people wouldn't track in mud. That's what it was.
I understand he and his brother actually saved a drowning man.
Well, he and Rudy, his best bud, who actually became a physician later on, I have a feeling because of what happened. Yes, they would go exploring along the creeks after the rain. They were boys, 10 years old, around 10. And one day they came across, they heard a voice, you know, as they were walking through with their little tacos in the lunch sacks, and they heard, ayúdame, ayúdame, and it was this man who they rescued, and it marked him for life.
And those floods were deadly at times.
Yes.
And so he knew that, or eventually came to know, that if you empower the people, they can make a change, and those floods don't have to happen anymore.
Yes. All his uncles had served in different wars. His father had served in World War II. He had uncles who had served in Korea, and his brother ended up serving in Vietnam. So he would hear the discussions of his uncles and how frustrated they were because they felt they couldn't get respect in San Antonio. I'm not a voting rights expert, so I can't give you all the statistics easily, but Latinos at that time did not have actual representation. And so he began to feel that he needed to get his people to vote so that they could get representatives, their own representatives, and that would stop the flooding in San Antonio.
So did you ever get to know Willie Velasquez?
No. I was living in Dallas when he passed away in 1988. Just to tell you how destiny works, I knew about him because at the time in Dallas, we were struggling for single-member districts, and we ended up getting them in the 90s. At the time, I knew the struggle. I had worked on voter registration drives, so I was familiar with it. And Willie passed away, and I wanted to come to the funeral. And I remember my ex-husband, Eliberto, telling me, did you know him? I said, no. Well, why are you going? I felt like I needed to come down. And, well, the book was my way of apologizing for not coming down.
His growth as a political figure, no, he wasn't really a political figure. Mm. I guess maybe a civil rights leader,
yes,
really grew from the barrio trying to fix the flooding to eventually founding the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project. And from there, that registration project really grew, and he ended up establishing voter registration drives across the state. And he actually was being sought out by national politicians to figure out, how can I get this minority vote that I think is going to help me get into office?
Yes, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1995, which was a posthumous award. But President Clinton actually talks about how he changed the political landscape in the country. He did. He tripled, because of voter registration, he tripled the number of Latino politicians in this country. But I want to emphasize, and I think Willie would say this very clearly, that was the first step. He also wanted to make politicians accountable. That was the next step. And he was working on that when he passed away.
Of course, the term Chicano and Chicana, it implies activism. Mm. And Willie Velazquez, it can't be denied that he was a Chicano.
Absolutely, yes. And he was actually expelled from St. Mary's in graduate school because he was involved in the farm worker movement. And there's a letter in the book where he talks about that. But like me, probably because I understood Willie's relationship to the world, I'm younger than him. And people my age, I'm in my 60s, people will understand and remember, you know, the dynamics that were going on the way. There were so many kinds of protests, and the world was changing. We were part of it. And so Willie was very much on the front lines of that change.
Barbara Renault Gonzalez is the author of Dear San Antonio, I'm Gone But Not Lost, Letters to the World from Your Voting Rights Hero, Willie Velazquez, on the occasion of his rebirth. When we come back, we'll hear more about Willie Velazquez's Letters from the Grave.
I think I'm going to get mixed reviews for this letter, guys. I was a great son, a good brother, a loving father, a lousy husband.
That's next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. San Antonio native and voting rights activist Willie Velazquez had a rallying cry, "Su voto es su voz," your vote is your voice. He strived to register underrepresented Latinos in Texas and worked on political campaigns across the country. Writer Barbara Renault Gonzalez's latest young adult book is a series of letters written by Velazquez from beyond the grave to his family, friends, and fellow activists. In those letters, Gonzalez incorporated three words that are a rallying cry of sort in the book: train, focus, jump.
One of his pivotal moments growing up is a fight he had. He went to Central Catholic. His mother struggled very hard to pay the tuition to get him there. And there was a bully there. There was always a bully in schools. Willie was not a big kid. And he wasn't one of the middle-class kids. And he had thick glasses. And he wasn't that great of a student. So he decided to take on this bully. He takes him on. There's a story about that. And he wins. But he tells young people, it happened because I trained. So I learned from Willie that you need to train. You need to prepare. I want young people to see that through this metaphor of a fight, right? So focus, be clear. Just to have this interview, I had to push everything else away. We all have to do that. And when you're taking a test or you're speaking, you know, in front of the class, you have to really be calm and think about what it is you're after. And so clarity is important. Then, of course, jump. Don't be afraid. We're all afraid. I'm afraid right now. Don't be afraid.
And I think that jump part is the hardest part. You can train all you want. You can have all your focus points ready to go, but it's taking that final step.
Yes. Well, he won the fight. He became a hero. And I think it served him his whole life, because he took on how many people, as he moved through life in registering people to vote. First of all, he had struggles on all sides because the Latino community was not used to voting. They're still not, in large part. Many of us do, but many people, if we're unsophisticated or we're little educated, many times we have a hard time understanding how to vote. So we have to reach out to them. And then he also had to struggle with the larger forces out there, like gerrymandering, for example. So Willie took on county judges throughout the state with gerrymandering issues, and he won every single one. Now, he had no money, right? So he was able to use his charming personality and all the discernment he had and got these fabulous lawyers to work for him almost for free. And that's Jump.
And so there are some letters in the book that don't necessarily have to deal with voting registration or gerrymandering, but they have to do with his personal life and mm-hmm. how that suffered as a result of his activism. So I understand you interviewed members of Willie's family yes. in order to get into his mind to produce right. those letters. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Well, the Velázquez family overall, I think, is a remarkable family. They're way above my own. They're stable. They love each other. They care for each other. I'm a social worker by training, and I've worked as a journalist before. And to do a book like this, I think, required all my skills in listening, in reading between the lines, and looking at the spaces in between. Sometimes what people don't say, that's where the story is. So no one talked really very much about Mr. Velázquez, Willie's father. I'm a grown woman. I understand marriages. I understand difficult husbands. I understand what it means to a young boy. I've worked with on enough cases to know that a young boy needs his father. So I was able to put all of that in the letters that I got from Willie, you know. Also, I've been married before, and I know enough about political activists myself to see that political activists are, unless they're a power couple, they're married to the community. And so the family, it's not that they don't love their families, but they love the community first. And so what I discovered is that young people hopefully will see that their heroes are not perfect, but that doesn't take away from their heroism, so that they can feel, I can do this too. I can change the world too.
So we're in an election cycle right now, and we know that the voter turnout among Hispanics is rather low, especially along the Rio Grande Valley and many border regions. Is that maybe one of the reasons why you thought it was important to resurrect Willie Velázquez now?
Well, I did an interactive book a few years ago, and it was a way to research the story, and it was very difficult and very expensive to do. A friend of mine passed away and gave me the financial support to tell this story. And so I had done all the research. It was about a year and a half's worth of research. There's one biography on Willie Velázquez. I read it twice. So I felt like, yes, at 30 years, it's time. Latinos, for all the work that's been done, you know, with the Chicano movement and all that activism, it's the story. If we don't know the story, we won't know who we are and how to move in the world and how to engage with others and how to make this world a better place. It's the story that's most powerful.
Can you read us one of the letters from the book, one of your favorites?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to read this one. Dear Vatos Locos, brothers from the barrio, good and bad men, young men especially. Do they call you homies now? I think I'm going to get mixed reviews for this letter, guys. I was a great son, a good brother, a loving father, a lousy husband. Sometimes I wish I could do it again. The thing is that if you're a man, you're not supposed to really love a woman unless you're weak. And I for sure wasn't that. I had my share of fights, won them all. I ended up suing 85 times in court over voting rights. And some people started calling me super bad names, scared of me. Got sort of famous for this. Infamous. But I'm really known for the time when I beat up the school bully. 1959, high school, Central Catholic. Picture this. I'm basically a nobody, a boy with thick glasses. The biggest white kid in the school is a terrorist in my book. Calls me names, cuts into the cafeteria line, pushes everyone around. Every school has one. This is the same year the black college students in North Carolina were protesting segregation because the white kids didn't want them. I guess this guy thought he had some power or something over me. Not many guys who were my kind of brown in that school. God, oops, can't say those words in these letters, according to the big one. Anyway, you get the idea. Here you have a president just like him now. Well, me and the would-be terrorist met at Woodlawn Lake, and he was twice my size and maybe 2 years older than me. I'd been practicing. First rule, prepare. I'd been training for weeks. Knew his weak spots. Second rule, Focus. Focus some more. Rule. Don't miss, because he's bigger than you. You might not get another chance. They say I destroyed him. Everyone was there from the school and saw the whole thing. Then I was a hero, all right. All I had were my fists and my moves. Third rule. When you throw a punch, aim. Do it like you mean it. Then jump, because he's always bigger. Fourth rule. Fly. It's about the heart. You can do much more than you think if you have the spirit. Train. Focus. Jump. I don't give up. Fly.
Barbara Renault Gonzalez reading from her latest young adult book, Dear San Antonio, I'm Gone But Not Lost. It's written in a series of letters from beyond the grave by voting rights activist Willie Velasquez. This is Renault Gonzalez's fourth book and the first in a series she's calling The Shiro's Journey. For more of my interview, visit tpr.org. A West Side San Antonio record store located along one of the city's historic main drags is still spinning the oldies. Texas Public Radio's Brian Kirkpatrick takes us there.
Stepping into Del Bravo Records is like stepping into a musical time machine. Has been a home for the West Side's favorite music since the 1960s. Javier Gutierrez says it's literally a mom-and-pop shop.
My father and my mother, Salome and Diamantina Gutierrez, opened the business back in 1966. They came here from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico. My dad, a songwriter, came into San Antonio in 1950, looking for a better life.
He says before the record shop, his dad, who'd been a border DJ in Nuevo Laredo, ran a garage recording studio on the west side.
He started recording with my godfather, Jose Morante, that had a little recording studio here on 24th Street and Rivas, Norteño record label, Sombrero record label. So my dad was the producer, the engineer that would record these groups in the garage.
Among them were men and women who would make it big.
So he was recording Flaco Jimenez, Lidia Mendoza, groups like that back in the day. And then the late 60s, my dad started his own label, DOB Records, and opened the store in 66. So they opened up this little store on Old Highway 90 with, dad says, like 6 or 10 albums on the wall.
I was born on the west side of San Antonio.
Gutierrez says there are many families like his in the neighborhood with interesting stories to tell. He says it's the people that helped create the unique cultural vibe of the neighborhood, and they're glad the city is recognizing it with an official designation.
The people, the culture that we have here in the old Highway 90 corridor, it's what makes it special. A lot of these businesses here in this corridor, it's about 6 miles on Old Highway 90. It's all family-owned businesses. We all keep in touch with each other. We don't have any big box stores here.
Gutierrez says a recent visitor to his shop told him there is only one other spot in the nation just like it.
There's a different feel here. I had a gentleman come in from California, and he says, you know what? I've only seen this in one other place. He says, it feels like East Los Angeles. There's a culture here that you don't see in any other place.
He says Old Highway 90 received its name after the new Highway 90 was paved closer to Lackland Air Force Base in the 1960s.
It used to be the main drag coming in from Del Rio, Eagle Pass from the west, going into San Antonio. Used to cross through downtown San Antonio, now to Houston.
Del Bravo Records survived the loss of passing traffic by the shop after the highway moved, but his dad did decide to downsize from 3 locations in the 1980s as there was a shift from vinyl to CDs. The old Highway 90 location endures. The shop still sells some CDs, and vinyl is making a comeback. It's not old folks buying vinyl either.
I'll tell you a story. I had about a year ago, I had two kids about 14 years old walk into my store. They were on skateboards, girl and boy. They walk in and I'm like, they must be lost. They're looking for directions or something. They walk in, they go straight to my vinyl rack. They start flipping through vinyl. At that point, I said, we're going to be okay. There's still people looking for vinyl. We're still in business.
Gutierrez says music just sounds better on vinyl.
The music's clearer on a vinyl, even if you don't think so. But you listen to a jukebox, a CD jukebox, compared to a 45 record jukebox, and there's a difference. The sound, there's something about the crackling of the record.
His dad, Salome, passed away more than a year ago, but a sign inside Del Bravo Records honors his memory. He might be proud to see how his family has kept the shop spinning West Side favorites for all these years. Brian Kirkpatrick, Texas Public Radio News.
Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Norma Martinez produced the broadcast. Our executive producers are Steve Short and Fernando Ortiz. Our digital editor is Vince Kong. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. But I got some cabeza instead.